Shir Shirim. Right. What the billing of this class is songs of the Alter Rebbe. Why is Shir Shirim? Because Shir Shirim is the song of songs. Song of songs. There's a phrase in this mimer which I want to just bring out. But before we do anything, we want to please have opportunity for people to dedicate the shir, give us people who need blessings, people who need bechurs. In general, this shir is always dedicated to Shlomi ben Moshe, our good friend Bundy, who was instrumental in getting this shir off the ground at least 3 or 4 years ago. And let me ask you at this point, does anybody want to name any particular people before Shlomi's?
Aliyas Neshama
for Moshe Leib and Yitzhak Shim. Moshe Varis Rivka Bas Shmuel Chaim. Neshama Zohar and Aliyah.
Oh,
anybody else? Anybody on Facebook who wants to put up a name to dedicate or to be remembered?
By like five different people.
You want to name the sushi sponsors?
I will.
Okay.
I'll tell you in just a second.
Question from Miriam Bach, Ina Tessia Yosebet.
Miriam
Bach, Ina.
That's Ina.
That's the
sushi was sponsored by Yosef Mendelowitz, Lady or Josh Kesselman, myself, Polly, and Chani Kamenker. How many people is that?
Okay, let's go.
Kananahara. Yeah, that's okay.
So, in this mimer itself, the Alter Rebbe, why are we doing the Alter Rebbe? We're doing the Alter Rebbe, we had this question offline, because we're 3 weeks in front of Chofetz Chaim Teva, which is the yahrzeit of the Alter Rebbe. And we're going to do something which we don't normally do. We're going to learn the mimer, the entire mimer. That's at least our goal here. And this is not a terribly short mimer. Nor is it a terribly light mimer. This is swimming deep. The theme of the mimer is enunciated actually in the mimer itself. The Alter Rebbe tells us that the entirety of Shir HaShirim, not this mimer, but the book Shir HaShirim, the entirety of the Shir HaShirim is built on the inyan of Kala and Tosin. Tosin and Kala. And you'll see from the very first line, which describes the intimate relationship between a person and Kala. At the same time, this is a multi-level mimer, as virtually every mimer is. Chosin and Kala are beautiful metaphors for Mashpia and Mekabel, the giver and the receiver. And that giver and receiver idea penetrates all levels of reality, really. In a relationship between two friends, at any moment one has something to give, one is in need, and that's why they have a friendship in the first place. In a relationship between inside a person and him or herself, rather than being disintegrated and disharmonious, there's a need for integration and harmony. There's a need for the integration of the positive, assertive self with the listening and silent self. There's a need for the integration of Midos, one's feelings with one's intellect. There's a need for the integration of one's thoughts and actions. And to the end, there's a need, the ultimate need that every person has, is the need for connection with something outside themselves, whether it be intimacy, husband and wife, friendship, or whether it be the ultimate connection with the connection with Hashem himself. And the Alter Rebbe is putting on the table here that the modality for all of these connections is the modality of song. Because there's a singer and there's a song. And the singer is the mashpia. Singer gives through the song. The singer is also the other way around. The song gives to the singer. Singers have songs that they prefer. Why? Because there's something that resonates in the song itself. So there's a twofold relationship here. Who's the giver, who's the receiver? In general, the giving quality is the person quality, the matria, and receiving quality is the Allah. But as we've learned in other places, and maybe you've learned it also, there are two brukas in the Sheva brukas, which describe the relationship between chasam and kala. And the last one, chasam in kala, is where the kala is actually giving to the chasam. There's a relationship where the chasam gives to the kala, and then there's a relationship which ultimately culminates in the expression that the woman principle in the relationship lifts the person to a place that the person couldn't be without the lady, without the woman. So this is all, as he said, this is a line. The Shira Shirim is Medaber Al Kol Bechinas Kala, the line in the all the relations. So the way this song works, the whole first ois is about Kala. The second ois is about Chasam. And then he takes it, if you look inside, word for word, Shir HaShirim. It's a song of song. Now, some of us may remember that in the Tanya, in the Igeres HaKodesh part of Tanya, David HaMelech is rebuked for calling the Torah songs, because songs are just an expression of the soul. They're not the root of the soul. This minor, and what Shlomo HaMelech intends, is that to get to the root of the song, the song of the song, the propelling energy that invests itself in the song. So we're going to start here, Shir HaShirim, Hashel Shloimei, and he's going to explain each and every word of this. This is the very first pasuk, by the way, in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, the song of song, Hashel Shloimei, which belongs to Shloimei, who is related to, of course, the Seder B'Tevis, because the Seder B'Tevis is the beginning of the destruction of the house that Shlomo built, the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the song of song. And the pasuk goes on. Yishkini b'neshikos pihu, he kisses me with the kisses of his mouth. He toivim daidecha meyayim, and the breast milk is better than wine. This is, of course, a metaphor. But again, the whole Shira Shirim is a metaphor of the relationship between Chasam and Kala, your attributes and your midos, your seichel and your midos, and ultimately the relationship between God and creation. Right? God is the mashpia, the creation is the receiver. So this is a multi-level program here that we're introducing. So we'll start. Neither is no. And again, this whole ois is about Kala. We're going to go into some intricacies of Kala. Noyde she'kodesh boch nikra chosim. The Holy One, blessed be He, is called the chosim. He's the one who's mashpia into and through all creation. The Knesset Yisrael, and we, the Jewish people, the Knesset Yisrael also refers to the sphere of Malchus of Atzilus in the structure of spheros, Zah. The midos of Atzilus are called the chosim. They are mashpia into the Kala. And all the Jewish people are called the Kala. So simply speaking, the relationship between us and God, you can think about as a relationship between a chosim and Kala, a bride and a groom. But that sounds okay, but what does it mean? What is that relationship? V'hainu al shem, why is he the chosim and we're the Kala? Al shem, because of the hamshtochas v'hashpo ha-todol Yisroel. Because of the drawings down and the flow of the Torah to the Jewish people. The drawing is down and flowing for the chosim, and the Torah is given to us. He draws himself, he, God himself, draws himself into the Torah, and we're the mekabelim, we receive. But Maamar HaSeg, as I said, Bayem Chasanusa Zeh Matan Torah. The day of God's wedding is Matan Torah. And therefore, Hasimcha es hachosen, Hamitzameach es hachosen, Zeicha l'toyra. One who gives joy to the chosen merits to the Torah, Shenitna v'hei koilos, which was given in five voices. If you look in Shmois, when the Torah was given, there are five expressions of koilos, the voice. Also, just happened, if you look in the Sheva Brukas, also, there are five expressions of voice. Five expressions of Kol Chosim Kol Kala. It doesn't say Kol, and then the last one. See, let's start funding. Yeah. So five expressions. I mean, I'm not going to editorialize, but we could think about five is very important, right? There are five books of Moses. There are five fingers on the hand. There are five. Five always indicates the notion of taking, taking an unadulterated flow and making very good sound. Like fingers pick an instrument or play in the table. Yeah. So he has taken himself and he invested himself. His very essence, of course, is not numberable. It can't be expressed. Essence is just something that has no expression whatsoever, no words that can attach itself. But he expresses himself like the five voices, the five fingers, etc., etc. And this is explained and mentioned in Tevatama, the first pair of the Marbrook. By the way, for those who are new here or new out there, just please raise your hand, interrupt, raise your voice if you have something that you don't understand or would like to make a comment.
So we do like to keep it.
Yes. I try to be the ringmaster for keeping it. The chostan, the word chostan, is related to the word chus. Chus. Chus means to come down. A chostan has to come down. Chut or shy, that's a spring. That's with a test. This is chus. I mean, in Sephardic, you would call it chus, different letter. Chosen is chus darga, comes down. The mashpia, the one who has to give, has to come down to the level of the makabel. The hainu, which is, this refers to, and this is what happens in a wedding. First, I want to think about the chosen puts the ring on the finger of the kalb, right? Extends himself to the kalb.
He also gives the
kasuba. Gives the
kasuba,
right. The bedekin, he's the mashpia in that ceremonial relationship, and in real life, that's the chosen factor, that's the zeicher, the zochrich factor, the factor of projecting energy outward and down, extending. Good. So this is yiridus v'hamshachas orein sabor. This model, the wedding, the simple wedding, is a model of the way Hashem draws down His infinite light, lehislabish b'toyra. Into the receiver. Notice Torah is feminine. That's a feminine word. It's a receiver. The Torah is also a giver, right? But in the sense of it being a vehicle that picks up godliness and contains it, it's a feminine. Ukenes Yisrael, who mocked the Shomis Yisrael, and we are also feminine. We are the sphere of Malchus, the bottom sphere, into which everything pours and is collected. And that's the root of our soul. The pain called Nitzis for Nitzis, she is Israel. Me Israel. Every spark of every Jew, B'frat specifically, who
is Israel. That's the question. Is there any point that, I mean, referring to as Nitzis Israel as Kala is perceiving, is there any point where the Jews are in the position of Mashpia?
Of course. This is a constantly back and forth relationship.
You have the concept of this receiver
effect. Well, let's say, so let's say this.
But
that,
I hear more instead of
but
as Jews we receive from Hashem.
We receive our Hashem, and then we become an or lagoyim. We become a light. We give out light. Neros. We become Neros. So, and this is interesting. I mean, important thing. We actually covered this a lot in the Mimer in Bereshis about Lo Toiv Adam Lios Levada. It's not good for a man to be alone. That the male human has feminine aspects, and the feminine human has male aspects. So,
and
what do we mean? That, just very simply said, it's good to know when to talk and when to listen. Right? Talk is the projective quality, and listening is the feminine quality. But once you've listened, and you've heard, you've got something to say. So it's into what's the word I'm looking for? Back into a football. That's not a good word.
Up to the
what? It's a what? It's a conversation. That's a good word. The conversation. When you receive and get full, you now have what to give. Right? So, I don't know if it's cyclical. Don't go in this way. It's back and forth. It's back and forth. It's like on and off. Anyway, alternating current. Something like alternate. That's probably true. Alternate.
Reciprocal?
Alternate. Let's go with alternate. You, on the one hand, you're a receiver, right? Everybody has, we're all receiving. Hopefully, like, we'll be receiving tonight, and we'll, and therefore, after that, have something to give. We'll alternate between the receiving posture and the giving posture. But the giving posture is the chosen, and the receiving posture is the common. And now we're going to explore for most of the rest of this column. Kala. And I said, the first piece is about Kala, the second piece is about chosen. And as I said earlier, there are also that has said that all the entirety of Shira Shirin is built on the relationship between chosen and Kala, giving and receiving. I mean, you have it, you know, I'm just remembering myself, pasukim we have about on Rosh Hashanah, that you're supposed to listen Bekoil Shaita. And the Alter Rebbe points out, don't listen, you're not listening to the shofar, you're listening into the voice of the shofar. So there's the voice of the shofar, there's the shofar, the instrument, the voice that it exudes, and you're listening into, inside of it. So again, there's the singer, the song, yeah, the singer, the song, and the deep part of the soul where the song comes from. The song of the song. Vehine kala yesh bebeis pirush. Now, wrap your mind about this. Let me explain. But there are two ways of looking at time. First of all, first one is the language is hiloyin. Hiloyin means to burn up. Shemekala umavala hakol. Burn up. Burn away. Burn up into nothing. Disappear, to be gone. So, the mekala or mevola, burn up, a call, and that's just lashon kala. Actually, that's lashon kila, kila, as it says in here, kol kila sha'ari. My flesh burns up for you. David Amelik says, the Targum Yonasan says, kol sha'ari. The Targum Yonasan says. Ishtitza Gushmi. My whole Gashmius, my whole self, physical self, goes away, goes out.
Disintegrate.
Okay. That's okay. Disintegrate is okay. It's okay. Because it means that it's gone. Right? Gone. Disintegrate. That's, and this is one aspect of time. To disintegrate, to be gone. Ishtitza Gushmi. The whole Gashmius goes away. The Hainu Loshen Kiloyin. This is burning up. Burning up. You take a piece of something, a wick without oil, you just light it and it turns into ash. It's gone. The Kaf Gamke Kala Bapesa, Peta. If you say Kala with a Peta underneath, a line underneath, Yeshlema, a Pirish Gamke, Alderik Zer, Kain Hu Bezoya. The Zoya says in Parshas Atle, a pasuki kolsa isha yisatsi. Kolsa again means burning up, disintegrating, expiring. He's going to bring that. He's going to bring. This is number one period.
First
period. Himilas kala hu shem dover. The name of a kala. Shem dover is a noun. Someone is a kala, right? Hamera al hapul. A paula refers to an action. Kamei, rocha zocha dafa. Like he's giving examples of others. Kala, become soft, become meritorious, become refined. It refers to a state of being. The state of being in this case is disintegration, expiration. We make the kala amshem shemakala because she, the kala energy is an energy of giving oneself totally away. Yeah, no, that's the next one. This is burning up as in burning up. And it will, your head, the next one is going to be more like what you're saying. The Tain Yisab and Berabes in Midrash, Shetekaldu, That is the same word. So that's one. One, you give yourself away. You're gone. You're gone. The habez.
Doesn't sound very progressive.
Habez. Well, we're fine. Habez. This is mekolser nafshi. Kolser here means yearning. A different way. Yearning. There's the first one, you are gone. The yesh is gone, and you are nothing, and you have melted away, burned away into his force. Here, kolser, you're yearning. There is a you. And the yearning is, and you are yearning. Now, Hainu, this is your teshukis hanefesh liyudavik v'yavakalab oriz bor. This is the yearning of the soul, to cling and to be included into God. Not to disappear, but to have an experience of closeness and oneness with God, or with the chosid, with mashpia. V'gamei tagim yonishom te'eves nafshi, the desire of the soul, yehu loshin teshuka, yearning. There you go. To her husband will be her desire. A yearning and a pleasure to be in the unification. Now you see, these are opposite. One is you're gone, and the other is you're there very much, but yearning to be connected with the person. Yeah. Okay, let's see it. Let's see, if you listen, I think you'll go exactly where you're going. The union is this. Codependent?
No, the first one is codependent. The second one
is maybe healthier.
Let him explain. Let him explain. Rabbeis, okay, so we have in Krishna, we have two lines in Krishna, right, to lead up to Vyahafta. We have the first line is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which means to give yourself over. It's called Mesiras Nefesh. This is to limsor nafshe be'efod, to give yourself totally away. There's a subtle difference between giving yourself totally away and the next one, the habez, the habe b'chol nafshecho, which is, I would say, giving it your all. Giving yourself totally away, disappearing, being subsumed, consumed in the allness. And the other is, you're very much here, but you're giving it your all. You're putting everything into it. Even to the extent of filo neitzel nafshecho. That's what the Talmud said, right? Giving it to unify the mesiras nefesh is giving yourself, even if they would take your life. You're putting everything into it. Well, havin and yonim, and these are both kalim, both explanations of kalim. What's the difference? Like we're going to understand. How is it possible? What's the relation? How is it relevant to talk about loving God with all your heart if you've given yourself away and there's nothing left? About love, it's written in Soit Parshas Nesavim about Lahava. To love Hashem because He is your life, not to disappear and burn up and be consumed. Pavel HaMesiris Nefesh Hu LaHashli Chaya. Mesiris Nefesh from this perspective is to draw down and become close to Levi force. Menage Shehu Bitul B'Metzias La'or. To do that, you have to become Bitul B'Metzias, nullify your existence to the Or in Sof Mamash. Skip these little words. If so, how is it that we can say that nullifying yourself, giving yourself totally away in the Mesiras Nefesh, is shayach, is relevant to Ve'ahavta? Ve'ahavta means yesh misha other. There's someone who loves. Now I'm going to interrupt you. Are you understanding this? Are you all understanding this? Yes or no?
What's the question?
How can you say that Mesiras Nefesh, how do you define Mesiras Nefesh as disintegrating, being nothing at all, and being burned away to such a point that your existence is nothing, when at the same time, you, in a body, in a soul, are commanded to love? You have to be there. As I said, yesh misha oya. There has to be a yesh. But let's stay with the question first. Your answer is going to be the answer. We have to get to the answer. The question is, how, if there's no you, who's doing the loving?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If there's no you, who's doing the loving? So now we'll get to his answer.
And there's three different levels.
Let's see. The meaning is this. Ready for Devorah? You ready for the answer?
I'm with you, Rabbi Kamen. I'm always with you. Sometimes more verbally productive.
The first level, which you said, limsu nafshi be'efun, to burn up, give yourself away, right? Because, why are you giving yourself? Because you've said, Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which Shema is Loshen Havana. You've understood something, which is a hesvoinim, a meditation. The Gedulah Sein Sof Baruch Hu, in the greatness of the infinite. Echshehu Echad, that he is one and the same. I'm putting the words the same. He's one and the same. Nothing has changed by him. The creation has done nothing to him. He's the same as he was just before the world was created. Without any change. I must call it Hashem. I am Hashem and I haven't changed. You're the same as you were before the world was created. Beginning and end mean nothing to me. And besides me, there is no Elohim. There's nothing else. Kirish Elohim. What's, first of all, what is Elohim? Elohim is, this is the general thing, huh? Concealment. Elohim, Havaya is past, present, and future all together. Past, present, future. Yud, Hey, Bov, Hey, past, present, future all together, which is a state that we don't recognize that state. By us, time has some importance. So there's a singularity, and a singularity of time, a past, present, and future in the way of Havaya. Elohim, you see, is Lashon plural. There's a plurality. Plurality, the experience of plurality comes from Hamali Mamasta, from concealment. Yilafon of Yisborach, Ein Shum Helam. But from Hashem's perspective, there is no concealment. Nothing covering at all. Everything is considered like nothing. Therefore, he says, do not profane the holy name. The cholol is we're going to play on the word cholol. Cholol is also the word shalai, last says, makim cholol. Don't make an empty space. The cholol. There's no place, there's no space that's free of it.
That didn't
come from like Khalilah? Khalilah, yeah, because the two are related. If you make an empty space, have a perspective that there is something that he's not filling. That's a Khalilah Bahas. God forbid.
Right, got it.
Right? Yeah. I heard a mumbling on the phone. Is somebody trying to ask something or say something? Yeah. All right? So we're in the middle here. We're on a train here. Just hold up and we'll get to the point where we'll ask something. So that's the perspective. There is nothing besides him. Elohim is a concealment. And from the perspective of Havaya, nothing has changed. Past, present, future, the same. Same before and after creation, etc., etc. So chas v'chalila, don't make an empty space. Li'ez dover nifrud v'meni, to think that there's anything separate from him. All of us, everything that exists, is only him. This is the root of actually a betoken. The root of betoken is that you can't possibly distrust, because you know in your brain, you've gone beyond believing in God, you know in your brain that there is nothing besides him. Therefore, every inch of space that's around me, every event that's happening to me, every feeling I have, really, every occurrence, is only God doing his thing, because there's nothing besides. And with that, you have, if one reaches that point, there's no place for anxiety, because it's all happening the way God is making it happen.
Always present.
You're in the eternal present. That's right. That's another way of saying it. Yeah. Eternal present. Be here. Right. That's what the Ram Dass wrote his book, Be Here, Be Now.
Right. Ram Dass.
It's the book. Be here, be now. if we were really present in every, you know, if every moment were the present, then what? When does the song go? Like, you know, however my eye is. The present, the past doesn't exist. The future is not yet, and the present is like a terrifying. The present is like a blink of an eye, right? Every moment is the present, and if one lived like that, there's no room for anxiety. Anxiety is about some, oh, what's going to be then, or you know, how can I straighten that out, and how can I respond to that? But everything. Rebbe said it in another way that I think is useful here, in Eliyahidus that I saw written up somewhere, that someone was talking to him about his problems, and the Rebbe said to him, it's just something you have to click in your mind. There is no such thing as a problem, only an opportunity.
The idea is also with mitzvahs, forced us to be present.
Mitzvahs forced. Right. Yeah?
Davening.
Right.
It forces us to be.
Because there is nothing mitzvah b'dibur. Because there is nothing separate from him, chas v'shalom. And that's the relation between chalal and chalila, chas v'shalom. Well, mameila, now if a person, this is a hasbainim, this is what we're supposed to do in Shema, in one little pasuk, Shema Yisrael, mevin, avon, shmiya means to understand, to contemplate, and Hashem echad, that all Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is being. The being is all one. There really is no separate. And if we were, if we would only train ourselves to think that way, we would experience it that way. And mamela, and automatically, the Talim call it Taibis for Hayeshis for the Gamei. There would be all of our desires and all of our Yeshis, all of our ego, our substance, and substantive existence, and all the stuff we have would become. Bottle. Now, bottle doesn't mean, remember, you have to be a yesh misha oyeh. This is not exploration in God.
Right.
This is a way of perceiving oneself in the present so that everything around you is perceived by you as Godly and a part of God. And this is the idea, the Mekala Megameh, that your stuff, your secondary, your things become things which are expired upward. In other words, you have an attitude toward them, which is that everything about everything that you have and every incident that occurs and every, quote, problem that you have and every apparent negativity is something that's godly because there is nothing besides God. She is batul kol reseinayim, and then one nullifies all of his or her own wills. And there remains only one will, which is the will to connect with Hashem, because He is only the only true reality.
It's setting aside everything else.
Yeah. Right. And let's understand, setting aside doesn't mean I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I mean, that itself is a vehicle, whatever it is, that cookie, that opportunity, that problem. When you say setting aside, I'm seeing it as a vehicle for connecting with Hashem.
You know, to be very careful about with this is that to have enough vehicles like really help you decide what is necessary to let go of, what is necessary for things
to and what's the necessary to keep.
What is important to hold on to.
Right. Yes.
A lot.
That's right. I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't know if everybody puts it up. People go off the deep end, but they interpret mevatling hayesh means like, you know, merging with the cosmos, yeah, whatever you want to call it, just giving everything away. And that's not. And there are shittas in service of spirituality, or that's what people do conscientiously do, give themselves, you know, fast, stripped down, nothing.
Even on a very practical level, like
yeah.
In terms of just simple gashmis, like giving away too much, or like giving, you know, like there's certain balance, there's a balance, money balance,
right.
You know, or giving literally like everything that somebody owns,
right.
But he's also passing.
I mean, tzedakah is a good example of that, in that it manifests this throughout this way. You have to look at it from both sides. On the one hand, you're told, give away a tenth. And if you want to do the mitzvah minamufa, if you want to do it best, give away a fifth. Saw something the Rebbe, was going, there was some gevurim going by the Rebbe door, and he said, I'm giving 5 million. The Rebbe said, give more. Double it. And it was a whole thing about that each one of them, then came told their story, that after doubling it, their business was phenomenally successful. But you can't be foolish about this,
but
right?
So with that in mind, you could look at the kind of things that the Rebbe used to advise people is pledge it, and then it will come.
Right.
Like, because people are afraid they don't even have money in their bank account. So it's even more than that, they didn't have the money. So there's...
Yeah, and remember...
By the way, I started working right for the beginning of November. I pledged money before I started. I was like, I'm giving, you know...
Then
you
got
a job.
I
found
the job.
I think one
of the other things, too. We'll see if that works. You know?
And then there's the flip side.
That I actually think.
The flip side, remember, when it comes to tzedakah, your family comes first.
Right.
Don't sacrifice your family for the sake of others.
Also,
yeah. Okay.
Regarding the other thing we're talking about, is the
Yeah,
about putting aside your
welfare and the So, this is the fine balance, right, between these two definitions of power. One completely, this is about giving yourself so you no longer exist. That's not what we're talking about, right? But that's a part of that. We totally expire, right? But that contradicts the notion of Yesh Misha Oyer. There has to be someone around. So we come to merge these two things. That while you are a Yesh, you're totally given over to yourself.
It's that fine balance. I'm not giving 30%. I'm giving 10 to 20%.
Right.
Because I still have to feed myself and my family.
V'zehu in the parentheses. Kala sha'ari. My soul expires. And my flesh expires. My flesh and my heart expire. What we brought above. My physicality and my self-fullness is yearning. I don't want to feel, I want to be a, I know I need to be a self because God has commanded me to do mitzvahs. And he's commanded each one of us to do different mitzvahs and given us different opportunities, right? But at the same time, that sense of meanness has to be rolled into the notion of doing what God wants because that's why I was created. Moshe goes to Isaiah, for Parshas Akron. The tzias the alma behind the kilonim. You just translate this. That the idea of giving oneself away, generally giving oneself away, or going out of oneself, right? Another way of looking, going out of oneself, I often quote this expression from Gandhi, Bahavda, that in order to find yourself, you have to lose yourself in the service of others. You have to give yourself away, but don't give yourself away. You get it?
You give all yourself away.
Don't become a schmatter.
Right.
Right, you can't become
that's
a schmatter.
You can't, but it's not only.
Yeah. So it's just a schnickel, a little bit of a paradox, but that's what we're given to man. That we're
and that's
something.
The point of balancing those
two. Yeah. We're something, and our something is meant to be given over to Hashem. And not just, and remember, the idea is not given over in like giving it to somebody else. You're giving, you're becoming part of the whole because there really is nothing. It means the expiration of all your, and I'll put it in the word, egotistical will. Giving over your very self-centered will into and give it, make his will, make your will his. While Dereshin is born about Mark, is explained in another place, and the Pasuk, Kitseitse l'milchama, when you go out to war. This is the same word, Kitseitse, when you go out. Nekudas panimi solev. So you're giving, what you're doing then, when you go out of the preoccupation with your selfish self, you are really touching what's called Nekudas panimi solev, the innermost point of your own heart. And that sets a fire. It sets it on that spark on fire, which is oil of a nipple, but audience of borho, that your pintaliyid now is a flaming fire that is included in the light of the infinite, You're not preoccupied with affairs of this world only. Because if you are, as we all know, if you're preoccupied with, if the vagaries of this world are the most important thing, there's going to be lots of downs opposite some of the ups. When we say that you're giving away things that you want for yourself, you're not really interested even in even the highest levels of spirituality. Gan Eden Tachton, Gan Eden Elyon, the lower and higher levels of Gan Eden. And that's what talks of it is written, David HaMelech, Mili B'Shemayim, Udo, I don't want anything else in heaven except you. Polishyari, he says, my flesh expires. So, that's expiration, right? That's giving yourself away.
But we know that that's not
a word. Huh? Giving away your fixation and your perspective of that.
When we first learned about Klesa Nefesh,
mm-hmm.
it's from Dustin and Aviram.
That's why it's not spelled out.
Right.
Because
they were doing
the opposite of Hashem's will. Hashem didn't want that. Right? So they wanted it. It was all about them wanting to expire.
Right.
So then what you're actually, I think, bringing out is that the lust for spirituality can become a very selfish thing.
Right. That, by the way, is one of the things that I hear of so much. It's like, this is my...
Right, right.
And it's like, so what do you mean? You're losing the MS because of your own MS.
Right.
You think that's, you know, your own MS is involved here.
Right.
But the only way to find the MS is to go into the title.
That's right. So that's, but nevertheless, what we've been talking about is giving yourself away. But not in the sense that you are, it ain't about you. It's about
right.
him.
It's about you, kid.
Now, Bishinus Abdeis, as we said, the difference between giving yourself away and giving it your all, which is the second part, it's the second pirush in Kalsa Nafshi, or in Kala. The Miloshin Kalsa Nafshi, my soul expires, Shehi Loshin Teshuka. This is the yearning. There's a very much you. And the you yearns to be relieved from the feeling of aloneness and separateness and from the brokenness of this world. Was yearning to come to a higher plane, a plane where there's peace and not argumentation, where politics dissolved away. Loshin Teshuka, the Ava, which is the Hinas Bitul HaYesh, which is the nullification of the Yesh. The Hainu, meaning what? Jehu Yesh V'Dover, you are something. Not that the Yesh is burned up and disappeared. It's there. It's not disappeared entirely. Maybe Chinasa Aleph, where you have lost your, you've given away yourself completely. You are a Yesh, and you nullify that Yesh in order to be included and to become bottled to Hashem. So therefore, in the davening, we make an interruption between the two kinds of Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh Ba'echad, in Shema, which is the notion of complete giving yourself away to the oneness. Yeah? And then the second one, Boruch Shem Kaveid Mahusa Leilam Boyad, which is, that the first one is called Yehudit Yilo, the higher level of unity. It's a deeper, you're God, right? You're really God. And the second one is the lower level of unity, where you are, from the level of God's Malchus. Malchus is the kingdom. There are individual things, a myriad, an infinity of individual things, from which is, and that that spirit, which is the spirit of Malchus, Borshein Malchus, kingdom, Malchus, from there, is the Sabu Kol Hanavroyim, every single creature came into being. Me'ayin liyesh, from nothing to something. Nefish ein melech le'am, there's no king without a people. He can't be a king over people who throw themselves in the ocean and disappear, drown.
Yeah. He yearned for that his whole life. So
yes. We said earlier there are two forms of mysterious man.
No, I'm saying, but
that is a mysterious man.
I think radiation plays a part.
Yes. He yearned.
I think somebody who's given a little bit of a hype for them, they're showing their love.
This is it.
So isn't that
exactly.
Also a hala?
Yeah, that is it.
Okay. But that is a different kind
of
thing than someone
willingly giving themselves over
as
opposed to Hashem's will. Like he was put in that position.
He didn't go and
like, right. You know.
Okay. There's a difference between. It's a dance, right? It is a dance. There's a certain tension between the two, but clearly, we're talking about two levels of the service method. One where you give up your life, right? And we ask the question. I was at the beginning. If you're giving up with your life, how do you come to be a half Hashem Elokecha? How do you come to love? There's no more any you. So the second level of mysterious nefesh is this one. There is a you, and you're yearning to close the gap between you and the all. Does that make sense? Healthy and unknown. No, they're both two forms of mysterious nefesh. They're both forms, right? I mean, if the moment comes when you're after we put on the line to give up your life, people have done it, right? It's a positive thing. We're not talking about someone who, I mean, for whatever reason, decides to destroy themselves in order to merge with the cosmos. That's not it. That's a thing. But to have a situation thrust upon you, like a person is said, do this or we'll kill you, and they decide to kill you, to be killed, because that's what the Torah says, that's a positive action. But the movement that we're talking about now is the second one, which is the movement of Yesh Misha Oya, Yahavta. What?
Why is it so long for Yidden using the practice of hurting the body, like rolling around the snow, or like, you know, doing things that they wouldn't heal their body? Isn't that considered like the same?
Yeah, and extremely right. It is the same. But it was just, I can't answer. I just don't have the experience to know what comes about on the country. I have a fast day like today, and I'm already like, suffering. I'm already suffering.
Yeah, you suffer?
I don't understand. I just don't have
the complication
of beating myself. I'm beating myself by stripping naked and allowing mosquitoes to bite me.
Yeah, why?
You're suing. Do you understand it? Punishing yourself and going to
the Hebrew mind? Word. People understand.
When Hashem brings it upon you, Surim Shalabra, that's another story. He wants you to take this as something to learn from, something to do it, really. To accept what he's doing. It's so right. It contradicts the negative commandment that you should be very careful to guard your health.
It's a Christian concept.
Right.
Yeah, but you're saying it's correct. We have many people in history who have been doing doing
it. Chassidus, we have a different approach.
It's a different.
They were there before Chassidus came out.
Huh? All right, look, I think we did this one. I think we got this one there, right? The main thing we want to focus on, it could be that that life presents a requirement to give up yourself. That's the ultimate mysterious method. You've given yourself totally gonzo. But the avoider of mysterious method is riyahafta. That you should love him and of course fear. But there should be a you, Yesh Mishoyev. But in Hasidus itself, the Yesh Mishoyev is sometimes looked as a little bit negative because there's still a Yesh. Right? The real trick is to be no Yesh in Gear yet, if you know what I mean. The last line, Hashem, Baruch Shem Kaved Malchusa, Hashem wants to be king. And if he's going to be king, he has to have a people. There has to be Yeshus, whatever the plural is. There has to be people around. V'zehu makar tiyam v'chayis kol hanavroyim. And this, that Hashem wants there to be a Yesh, and that the Yesh should love and fear him. This is the whole source of the existence and the life force of all creation. That's why creations exist. Why creatures exist. We could see, even it's written, Umabaladeh and Elohim. It says, besides me, there is no Elohim. Baladeh, besides me, Dafke, the Hainu, Hutz Mimen. Outside of me, there is no plurality. But I express myself, if I can say such a thing, God is saying, in a way that I express myself out. That's why we have metaphors like God speaks, or God sees. He expresses himself outside of his essence because he wants to give rise to the perception of multiplicity and the perception of physicality. And I don't, when I say perception, I mean these are real things. But he wants to do that. Otherwise, there would be no need for Elohim.
So he's making space for us.
He's making space for us. Nice. Very nice.
So it's a matter of us making space.
Very nice. I like it. I hope everybody heard it.
Did
you hear that? Did everybody hear that? Right. I'm found wherever let you in. He makes space. He makes a space, an empty space, so to speak, a hollow, and in that he creates for us. And we are to reverse the process.
That was what Evan Miller said.
Yeah. My heart, what he meant, my hollow mekirbi, is that I'm empty of my yeshus.
My heart is open.
Yeah, it's just all about
yours.
I'm all about you. I'm all about you. I'm yours. Right. Yeah. And call.
Yeah.
Right? I'm giving myself over to you.
Yeah. Oh.
All I really want to do is bring out the best in me and you. Right? Aval Havaya Ba'atzmai, right? Havaya Ba'atzmai, Hu Elokim. In other words, and this is very subtle, Elohim, plurality doesn't manifest itself until you get to God expressing something that isn't his essence. But the notion of him wanting to do that is built deep into his essence, deep inside of himself, at his most deepest levels of subconsciousness, if you could say such a thing, is the notion of creation. It expresses itself much later. So he says, Abel Havaya ba'atmi hu Elokim. Ani Havaya Elokeichem. I am Havaya, who is your Elokeichem. Ani ba'atmi. Me myself contains the notion of multiplicity. My unity is such that it contains the notion of multiplicity. And how did he express it? He contracted himself. He hid himself. Right? So remember, this is the puzzle. Hashem coming down, being mashpia to the Kaaba. So there has to be some kind of levushin and vehicles for that. The levush, the ring, the ceremony. There has to be an approachment. There has to be a vessel for that. There has to be a receiving vessel, and there has to be a process. What's the word? There has context. A context, right. And the context is the symptom. Well, I like that. The context is the sense.
Something for me,
Yeah, you're saying these are what? These are some tsumim? Is that what you're saying?
Tsumim is like not enough. It's almost like I feel like, what do you mean? Thank you, Hashem, for the tsumim.
But hold on. Understand what we just said. I mean, take it in. Take it to heart.
I'm taking it
to heart. That in the Simpson, and in the Simpson is God himself. God invests himself everywhere. So the Simpson is so that we can handle it. I mean, it can, we can take it. We can partake of it. I don't mean deal with it. I mean just partake of it. But in there is Elohim, is Ani. Ani, what's the expression? Havaya ba'atzmei hu Elohim. Ani havaya lekecha. Ani ba'atzmei.
Is the darkness is the symptom, because in a certain sense, there's a darkness before there's the light, right?
Yes.
You have to have that contraction before you have the revelation. Is the darkness easier than the actual revelation? Because
the darkness is what allows us to be able to contain it. If it weren't dark, if there weren't a darkening, there would be nothing besides him, really. There wouldn't be no any. There would be no creation.
It would be like Mount Tabor when it expired.
Yeah, we couldn't handle it. Things have to be mitzumtzum because we are mitzumtzum, we're limited beings.
Right, so remember, in the dark, difficult times, it's a symptom for us to see that.
Yes,
that
in the symptom is the love. Albeit hidden.
Right, I think that
line the whole time.
What are you saying?
That's
right. Yeah.
So that in the and he goes on, he says, in the gavul, in things which are balik bul, ani is there. Liyes gili b'chinas nivraim b'chinas yesh. So the gavul, what does it produce? It produces creatures who are limited creatures, but elokus, godliness, ani is within it, and he uses the recurrent example in Chassidus from Nigla, Yehadin Kamsa de Labushim from the Zohar, from Kabbalah at least. Yehadin Kamsa, like this snail, it's usually translated snail, the Labushim in Eobe, whose shell, whose garment is part of the snail. You get the marshal?
Yeah.
You get the marshal? Right? It's a separate, it looks like. Have you ever seen a snail? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the snail looks like something, but it isn't something separate. It's part and parcel of him. So all the simsumim, which give the impression of being something separate, are really part and parcel of him. And this is the idea of Borashen Kubeh Mahusalem. There is other stuff. There is a kingdom. But he's invested in the kingdom. And because of that, one's state of mind is to know, if one has that state of mind, you'll have then the capability to experience, to connected with God, which is love of God. As it says, yesh misha oyeh, there is a yesh, there is a substance, but a substantial thing who loves. That's yichud tata. There is a me. There is a creation, and within the creation I perceive and feel in my heart, shari levoved, my flesh feels, my heart feels, that the ani, that the Hashem is in. That's yichud tata, the lower level. Mashenken yichud eloh, who begin his bittul mamish, I having that avonet, I'm gone. Mesirut nefesh mamish. Now it's 9:35. Okay, actually, I have a bracket anyway coming up, so it's going to be shorter. And with this, will be answered. Now, if we understand this, we'll know that we've understood it. This will be understood. The relationship, the ahavta, why we say the ahavta, after a mesiras nefesh echad. And say there's two mesiras nefeshes. The first one, gone. The second one, a yearning desire to come close. And after that, we say, after Hashem echad, and al yedei shemafsichin, and by interrupting, making the division of the second level, boruch shem kabur mahusaliyed, v'al shem v'ayin mashikosabin, and see what's written about this. In Parshas V'yeshev over here, B'kofchei B'kislev is the Maim Hanukkah Maim. Bo'efen Achim, where it's written a little bit differently. The Hameven Yavin, and one who understands will understand that both of these, this is a parenthetical, I could have parenthesized it. This is end parenthesis. But the two explanations are the same, meaning, but he's not going into it. He reconciles them, and you should know that they're reconciled, that they're not opposites, that the notion of giving oneself away, that is a form of Mesiras Nefesh, that's Yehudat HaTorah. And Yehudat HaTorah is also is unifying oneself and dropping the selfish preoccupation. Ubeis b'chinas eila nikra b'loshen ha-kabbala shchinat HaTorah. These two levels, Yehudat HaTorah is called in the Zohar Shchina Elah, and Yehudat HaTorah is called Shchina HaTorah. Shehem Beis Bechinas Kal. These are two levels of Kal, right? Remember, the whole first Ois is about the Kal. Two levels of Kal. Complete expiration and giving Klois HaNefesh from the Kila, expiration, disintegration, and then yearning. And both of them are the modalities that we have to deal with to become a Kal, to become one to receive what Hashem wants us to receive. And now, okay. Zehu Beis Bechinas Kalish and Emunah B'Shir Hashirim, which is spoken about in Shir Hashirim. And here he gives the line that I opened up at the beginning of the class. Shekol Shir Hashirim Medaber Al Beis Bechinas Kalish. The whole of Shir Hashirim is really about these two levels of yearning and expiration.
Gesundheit.
And with that, we'll leave it for tonight. So before we get up and leave, though, I just have one question.
Yeah.
Abachem. I was instructed by my Rav, I think I told you this, to leave every class with a Abachem.
What?
Abachem. So like, okay. So what?
Yeah,
so what?
Right.
What do we have from it? What do we have from it?
What
does anybody have from it, including you guys on the line?
Come again next week.
In practical, what do we have from it?
Two ways of being receiver.
So what could that mean later tonight and tomorrow in terms of approaching life?
Okay, number one, better takeaway from this is being present.
Mm-hmm. Being present.
Being in the now, right? Being in the now, connecting, tapping in. You know, I always like, well, don't ask why, ask what, right? Why does Hashem want me to?
Don't ask why, ask what.
Right. Because the why is a yeshua, right. And the what is about Hashem.
Good. We have a comment here. I'm saying about even whatever happens, don't ask why. He says, this is Ari Hadid, he says, even things like not getting enough sleep night after night.
Deliberately or non-deliberately?
Yeah. The answer is yeah. Now, can you do something about it? Is that... This is another thing. There's an interesting thing also, and it's kind of obvious. A guy was asking the Rebbe about something. I don't remember what the thing was. And it was something that that was negative. It was obvious it was negative, but it kept occurring. He looked at it like this. He said, if it's happening to me, if I'm having this opportunity, even though I know it's not what I should be doing, isn't that Hashgacha Pratis? Right? Isn't it that I can't sleep night after night?
Oh.
Isn't that also from the Eberster?
Yes.
Yes. So what is the right answer to him? Hashgacha Pratis is godliness in operation. In this case, the godliness in operation is telling you, avoid it. It's putting in front of you an opportunity to change your behavior. So I don't know, Ari, but maybe there's something you can do to remedy that, not sleeping night after night.
We're not even sure of something. That everything that happens to you is even for people, it's a messenger from Hashem.
Yes.
So every little thing is literally Hashem doing this.
Absolutely. Another comment, we'll see how we react to this one. Jamie. I am taking it that carrying the great light means being able to empty completely of anything until I am without attachment, then I can serve with all of me. That's very true if you take it very carefully. It doesn't mean divesting yourself of everything. It means very particularly without attachment, that you're not attached to the thing per se, You're attached to the thing because it's the bar mitzvah. It's a thing that Hashem has commanded you to do some behavior with. And then in that sense, you're not attached to the thing itself. So for instance, getting rich. There are two ways to get rich. I mean, two attitudes toward getting rich. I want to get rich so I can have a boat and I can party and I can have all the great things that I want. Or I want to get rich so I can give tzedakah, so I can, et cetera, et cetera. So both of them represent, I'm going to be attached in some respect to the work it takes to get rich. But so we don't say no to that. We just say no to the use of it and the attitude toward it. Here's the night 8:30. We'll continue with this mime. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to learn about the puzzle. We did two levels of exploration. Now let's talk about coming down. The next piece is on the question.